welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 226 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm stunning and amazing. Incredible.
The fire is roaring next to us, hey?
Yeah, the winter is here, the fire's on.
It's not winter yet.
Well, it's dark out there,
it's
cold and it's raining.
It's chilly. But we're happy, aren't we?
Yeah, woo!
We're talking about writer's block this week, aren't we?
We are.
What to do when you get when you're a bit stuck. And it doesn't have, you don't have to be a writer to enjoy this one as well, we're hoping not.
It's the creativity block.
Yeah, and that word creativity gets people get pigeonholed a bit by they think it's you can write, you can draw, you can paint, but it's a lot more than that, creativity.
Yeah, we'll come to that.
We'll come on to that. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is the website. Check it out for the show notes and links for this and all previous episodes. Sean has written a blog post to accompany this, which is well worth reading. We're going to reference it a little bit today as well. And yeah, stick your email address in the box on the website, and we'll send you some free meditation files and the discount code for our book, Live in the Present, which is well worth a read, I would say, wouldn't you?
I would. I'd say lots and lots.
How are you, Sean?
I'm good. Had a tough weekend, as we know.
Yeah.
Auntie Mally died.
Oh, yeah.
So we had the funeral a couple of days ago, and that was all a bit difficult, but positive. Positive.
Well, yeah, she would have wanted that, wouldn't she?
Yeah, and she was a very positive lady, and the literally hundreds of people that were there were treating it very positively as well.
That's pretty good.
It was good.
Pretty good sign, isn't it, that you've lived a good life there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people there. Yeah, it's good.
Good. Yeah, same old for me, really, just cracking on with work big time. It's coming from all angles, but loving life. I actually, health thing... I know I've been trying to wean myself off meat as much as possible.
Yeah.
I did the weekly shop online at the weekend, and not one bit of meat in the entire weekly shop for the family.
Wow.
Bit of an experiment. I did it, Bethan was asleep, so I had free rein what I could get. She hasn't cottoned on just yet. But yeah, see how it goes.
So what kind of, have you put, used meat substitutes?
Yeah, there were a few meat substitutes there, like corn. Yep. A couple of corn things, Linda McCartney, bits and bobs.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to it. Just going to see how it goes. Do you think I can make it through the week without passing out or fainting due to
I reckon you might just make it.
I wonder how long the kids are going. I even got some.
Hang on, Theresa May. Maybe.
Oh, Theresa May, yeah. Excuse me, what? We'll come on to that in a bit, maybe. yeah, I did get the. I got some weird ham, corn substitute, ham slice stuff because my lads both love ham sandwiches. So I'm going to. I tried them today, actually, and they were all right, to be fair.
The one thing I find really difficult when you get into the alternative, I can cope with the soya mints and the corn, that kind of stuff. It's the vegan cheeses that are horrendous. They're like eating soap. I haven't found any vegan cheese that to me was acceptable.
Right. Mm. Well, we're not going, yet, the full vegan hit. I mean, maybe at some point we'll see how we go. Well, I was discussing about what do people do for milk. Like, I don't have milk on. I don't have cereals.
Nut milk.
Is that all right on Weetabix and stuff? Or
Yeah. Nut milk.
Not for me, but for
and
me.
Almond milk particularly is good. Coconut milk in coffee is becoming a big thing. Having what they call those long white coffees.
I don't know.
They're a skinny flat,
skinny
white
latte,
but one made with coconut milk.
Okay.
But I don't have milk anyway, so...
Well, yeah, I'm all right with milk, really. Cheese is a tricky... Cheese and eggs, really, would be a tricky one to completely eliminate from our routine. But
there are things that you can do to replace eggs.
Yeah.
Much more than cheesy kind of
vegan
stuff.
Waffles and pancakes, that's what I need to crack. Because we're a Saturday morning, we get the old pancake or waffle machine going.
Yeah.
It's a big part of our lives.
And are you using egg whites for that?
For our waffles and pancakes?
Yeah.
Just the whole egg?
The whole egg, yeah.
Yeah, just chuck it all in.
Okay.
Not the shell.
No.
we'll crack on with this week's show, because you yesterday you texted me saying you were struggling for what we could talk about, so I suggested you got a bit of writer's block there, so let's talk about that.
My head was overloaded with the stuff that's gone on, I guess. I'm thinking I'm blank. It's interesting that if you've ever stared at a blank piece of paper or a blank computer screen, knowing you've got to write something, where do you find that first bit from to get it going?
It is well. Come on, we're going to link to your blog post in this from this show notes on this page. Where do you start? How did you write this week's blog post?
Once I
gave you the inspiration.
Gave me the inspiration. One of the things for me is to sit down and effectively to meditate or to contemplate. Mm-hmm. So I close my eyes, I sit down cross-legged, and I will contemplate maybe for an hour even.
Think
what
of
it
Ed.
Is I'm going to do.
Think of Ed for an hour.
Yeah, oh my God, not Ed for an hour. So I sit down for maybe an hour and I will meditate or contemplate whatever the issue is. I come at it from lots of different angles.
Yeah.
And the trick is not to push it. If I push my brain or my mind, I just start bashing against something. So if I just let my mind wander around, and it may go up all kinds of weird alleyways, but gradually it kind of coalesces into this thing.
Yep.
Then is the beginning point for me to start doing what I'm doing.
So when you do eventually sit down and start typing, does it all just flow? Are you copying and pasting and moving things around and deleting and starting again?
Mainly I'm flowing. And one of the things that I've learned when I'm doing stuff is if I'm going to do an article or it's a booklet or a chapter, I get it all out. Mm-hmm. Then I will go back. I might then go and do something else for a bit and then come back, read it and play with it, and then I might move things around a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about the reasons why people get stuck creatively. Do we put too much pressure on ourselves to do too much in an allotted amount of time?
No, I think that one of the issues in what we're talking about is that concept of creativity. Now, for me, if you can make a cup of tea, you're a creative genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's because if you can put ingredients together to produce something, you just have done a huge act of creativity, and that could be making a sandwich. Yeah. When we use the word creativity, we tend to think about big things, big art, big music, you know, big whatevers.
Yeah.
And actually, what we're doing all the time is creating. And either we're creating consciously and mindfully, or we're creating unconsciously, but we're still going to do it. So the issue about when you wake up in the morning, you create your day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've already decided how you're going to experience it. And it's up to you whether it's going to be positive or negative.
I mean, you can argue, maybe I'm being too pedantic here, but every situation in life, every little trip you make, involves a certain amount of creativity, doesn't it? Like, even me, to get here tonight to your house, once I got sat in the car, involved certain levels of creativity in terms of which route I was going to take, the traffic conditions, you know, which lane I was going to be in on the motorway. Yeah. Which
And your ability to adapt to things as they changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a big thing in creativity, is we start off with an image and we go off in a direction. And sometimes that direction has to change, it has to alter, it has to move and be appropriate to the setting that it's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the blog post, what I've done is I've gone through like the creative process, that if you start with an image, then how do you turn that into something that's real? Because most people break down at some point. Mm-hmm. So I won't kind of take over the blog because it's there to be read. But basically the stages are, if you've got an inspirational image, you've got something that you want to do, which could be write a book, or it could be saving all the poor in Africa. It doesn't matter what the image is.
Yep.
Yeah, the next step is looking at what are the implications of the image. Let's say I want to be a writer. That's where we started, yeah? And to be a writer, I need time, I need space, I need a place to do it. How's that going to affect the family? Mm. Yeah? How's the family going to put up with me if I'm saying, go away, I need this space to be able to write my masterpiece?
Yeah.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. What are the implications of my image? How's it going to affect other people? Mm-hmm. Yeah? If I can get to the point where the implications I can deal with, and maybe I've actually had to check out with people around me, whether it's okay with them if I do this, whatever this thing is I'm going to do. The next bit is creating a plan. Mm-hmm. And there's some ideas in the blog about how you might create that plan. But being able to organise yourself into some kind of plan situation that enables you to take the image. You've dealt with the implications. Okay, now I'm going to plan how I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I've just quickly there, a lot of inverted commas, creative people might not be seen as being that good at the planning stage because they're quite kind of off they go to excitement.
Yeah.
And so do we need to rein ourselves in a little bit sometimes?
Well, it depends. If each of these steps that I'm talking about, I mean, getting an image is quite a big thing in the first place. But if you've got an image, many people, the image will fail because they didn't address the implications of doing that creative act. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they just cheese everybody off around them and they end up stop doing the image because it's not fitting in with what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the failure can be at that point. But if you get through those two bits and then you get to the planning bit, lots of people fail in their creative endeavours because they can't actually create a plan, a system that works. Mm-hmm. And that might even mean what kind of computer system you're going to use. There's all that kind of stuff. You know, what processes do you need to enable this image to start to move towards actually being created in reality?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And again, there's ideas on there about how you could create that plan. Mm-hmm. If you have got a plan, the thing is you then got to resource it. You know, you've got to be able to resource the plan. And if we're talking about writing, you might need an iPad. You might need, you know, something to do it on. You might need a desk to put the iPad on. If the images are bigger, you might be needing an office. You might be needing a factory. You might be, you know, there's all kinds of things that you might need to get your image out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think of all the small, medium-sized businesses I work with every day. You know, I help on the creative side. But in many ways, my little creative role for making things look pretty, websites and leaflets or posters, pales in comparison to like the creativity involved needed to set up a business
in the first place. Yeah,
it's huge.
Yeah,
amazing, really, isn't it?
But when you start looking at being able to resource the plan, sometimes you've got to go to the bank, which means you've then got to create a business plan. You've got to do other kinds of things that are going to get the resources to enable you to do what you need to do next. And it could be money. It could be bits of equipment that you can beg, steal or borrow. But it could be people.
Yeah.
You know, one of your resources is you need other people to enable you to enact this image. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at any one point, like I say, it can start to break down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you've managed to resource your plan, then the next step is, okay, you've got to go for a dry run. You've got to be able to see whether it works. And that's like testing the market testing, market research, whatever.
Or handing that first draft to a friend or a family member and getting some feedback, which...
Yeah. And that might even mean focus groups, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, we did do some stuff, didn't we, when we were doing books before about coming up with a manuscript, giving the manuscript to lots of people, then sitting down with those people and getting them to feedback on each bit of the manuscript.
Yep.
Yeah. So market research... Doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're making cakes, whether you're writing books, whether you are, you know, creating a big factory, there comes a point where you've got to test, does it work?
Yep.
You know, is it worth doing? Mm. Yeah. And very often that's the point when you get to that test phase where you sometimes go right back to the original image and you adjust it and adapt it until you get it right. And you might have to go around that circle of image through to research like several times before you get the thing that is right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you've got that thing that's right, the next step is, okay, can you actually do it?
Yeah.
You know, if you've designed this widget and you've created a factory and a system that's going to be able to make these widgets, okay, have you got the people to be there making the widgets? Yeah, so it's like at each point there's something where if you get to the end of it, the end of the creative process, so you're actually sat there with the finished book or the finished cake or the finished widget or whatever it is in your hands, you know, well, congratulations, you've just been a creative genius, you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
But how many of us, and people that are listening to this, I've done it, you must have done it, we have the most amazingly creative and wonderful ideas, but we don't fulfil it. We don't take it through that process to bring it out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've seen loads of people where someone's invented something and people say, well, I thought that. But the difference was the other person did it.
Yeah, well, it's classic you'll see in an art gallery, you know, a painting that maybe it's not some great masterpiece like Monet or Van Gogh, but it's just something that looks like, the classic line is, oh, I could have painted that.
Yeah.
And the reply is, yeah, but you didn't, did you?
You didn't, yeah. That's it. Very real.
Yeah.
Very real. And when you look at, like, why didn't I? And it's like, I can remember as a teenager, we'd sit round and do armchair travelling. We'd sit round and plan these amazing trips that we would never go on. Mm. You know, a group of us,
yep,
kind of thing. And those kind of creative ideas are kind of ten a penny. It's whether you can actually pull it through. So that the issue is the phrase that creativity is 2% inspiration and 98% perspiration.
Mm.
Yeah? You've got to put the work in to make this image come to pass.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said. We've talked a lot on the show about how... That cheesy line, happiness is a journey, not a destination.
Yep.
It's to be said about that whole process, you know, that 98% of perspiration, that's the fun bit, really, isn't it? It may not feel like it at the time when you're toiling away in the middle of the night or you're stuck for that next line in the blog post or whatever. But when you get to the goal, that's the best bit, really, isn't it? Looking back on those tricky parts.
I wonder what it's like for people like J.K. Rowling, who... she wrote her first book in a cafe.
Mm.
Yeah, and taking her from that to this massive manifestation of this image of Harry Potter.
Yeah, you know? I'm in awe of people like that that have created these whole universes with hundreds of characters, and you know, same with Tolkien. I mean, even more so with Tolkien. He created a whole world.
Mm.
I don't know how he did that, and I guess in many ways the kind of fruits of his labour kind of bore out after he died. I'm not sure when he died.
How often does that happen, though? Yeah. You know, that artists become famous after they've gone.
Yeah.
And so. One of the things that I think is true is that everybody has huge creative potential. The issue very often isn't about needing to find the inspiration. The issue is about stopping ourselves not being creative.
Mm.
You know, it's like putting up with what you've got. The idea that, am I good enough to do this? All those kind of things that get in the way of us fulfilling ourselves with wonderful creative images and doing it.
Mm.
And people put up with rather than actually enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're cutting ourselves off.
Yeah, no, we've got to mention distraction, because it's now more than ever, it's so easy to be distracted. There was a time, if you were talking about writers, perhaps, you would be in a room with a typewriter, and you could just type away. You might get stuck, but at least you could just... The best thing you could do was look up and stare out the window for a while, or go for a walk. Nowadays, our typewriters are connected to the world, aren't they? With Twitter and Facebook and BBC News and YouTube and goodness knows what else. One of the links I'm going to stick up is goinswriter.com, how to overcome writer's block. And it actually suggests early on, he or she, I'm not sure who wrote it, suggests there's an app called OmniFocus. I assume it's for all devices, but basically it locks your computer down just to, while you're writing. I don't know how it works in terms of you can set it to certain times, but it just turns the computer into a typewriter, basically. So nothing else can come in, no emails will ping in to distract you.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because we have a phrase for this in psychology, it's called displacement activity, that rather than putting your energy to what it is that you should be putting it into, we suddenly start to displace it. So you should be finishing your assignment or your thesis, and suddenly the need to clean out this cupboard becomes really important, and we start to divert our energy into other things, displacing. And the classic displacement is, in psychology, is usually given of the rabbit who's about to be eaten by the fox, who can't do anything about it. So the rabbit starts washing itself, and starts kind of cleaning itself, and just to displace its anxiety.
Wow, okay.
Mm.
Flipping heck. Yeah, when I used to work at home, yeah, mine was the dishwasher. When I didn't really want to get down to that hard work of getting a certain job done, I would just go and tidy the kitchen and make sure the dishwasher was all set.
I mean, you've chosen to not work from home, but to go and get an office to work from that you share with the other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was that one of the reasons?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, partly. I mean, it was partly because, yeah, I'd had... There was kids coming and going and lots of distractions in the house and noises and stuff. But it was more of a social thing, really. I wanted to work with people again.
Mm.
Because you can take a lot of inspiration from people, can't you? There's someone sitting alongside you.
Yeah.
They can ask how you're getting on, or if you're stuck, you can ask them for help.
I think those kind of hubs that are developing now, where you've got lots of creatives in different areas that are working together and share that.
Yeah, well, I should mention, yeah, because I'm in Pacific Road, a business hub. We're in one end, and the other half of the building. You've had a look down there.
Yeah, where they've got the sheds.
Yeah, it's called the sheds. So it's like a huge open plan floor, which is designed for young or new startup businesses to come, and you can either hire a desk for a tenner a day, or you can hop in a shed for a bit more for two or three people. But it's a really cool space. Actually, it's nice to see it kind of starting to take off now.
Yeah, it's good.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone out there listening who's working at home on the Wirral and would like to come and take a look.
Yeah, come and grab a shed.
Yeah, come and drop down, have a look. But they're doing, I think it's the, don't quote me on this, I think it's the last Wednesday of every month is like an open day, basically, where you can just come along and work there at no cost. And there's events through the day, so there's like networking things and there's drinks in the evening and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Bit of a good spot.
Yeah.
How do you monitor distractions? Because you've got emails pinging in all the time.
What I've learned to do...
What's your way, your method?
I have several inboxes.
Mm.
So I only deal with one inbox at a time. So that if the work that I'm doing today or in the next 4 hours is about the work in Qatar, then I don't attend to any other inboxes.
Yep.
If I'm doing NHS, then I'm on the NHS inbox.
Cool.
Yeah, and that I discipline myself like that. And if things do come in, because they come in on the drop down sometimes, I just don't pay attention.
Cool. So you do have notifications though still?
Yeah.
I switched all that stuff off, man. Yeah.
One of the reasons I have that is because of the nature of what I do. Sometimes there's a crisis or a disaster or something, and if that does ping down, I do have to attend to something sometimes.
Yeah.
But
that's fair enough.
But, I mean, in general, I don't pay any... I just observe, let it go, give them what I'm doing.
Do you ever head out for a stroll or a bit of fresh air if you ever need to recharge the batteries?
Yeah.
I know, in the afternoon for me, but after lunch, really, there's only a certain level type of work I can get done. Creative stuff doesn't really happen, so I just do all the admin-y bits.
Yeah, and I think that in terms of the time of the day when your creative juices are active, some people, that's in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on how your system works. But when you know that, you're playing to your strengths. And so you do things at the appropriate time of the day for you to do. I walk around the block. I will just simply stand up and walk around the office. Sometimes that's enough.
Yep.
Yeah. Or, you know, the idea of stand-up desks. So I do that kind of thing as well.
Cool.
Standing up and working standing up, because then different bits of my system are working, legs, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, another part of the reason I got the office where I did is just to force myself to cycle to and from every day, or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
Just to get that energy to pump in and get the...
Find that being very different to working in Liverpool?
Yeah, I do really. I mean, we only have one car, which is again a deliberate decision. I didn't want to get another car to force myself, because I know when I do have access to the car, I'll drive to work quite often because it's the easy option.
Mm-hmm.
When I had the office in Liverpool, I would cycle down the hill to the train station, but it was much shorter little ride.
Yeah,
but it was quite a nice little walk in, so it was a similar kind of workout, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoy my ride to and from work. I mean, apart from the odd car that whizzes past a bit too close, but I'll... No, I don't shout or anything at them. Promise. But I know it's one of my favourite parts of the day, really. Mm-hmm. Both ways, just because it's... Because nothing can get me, really. There's no notifications coming in, no emails.
What about the weather? If it's raining, like it is now.
Yeah, well, I rode back in the rain this afternoon. It's all right. I don't mind rain as much. Wind's the big one on a bike.
Yeah.
Because it can really, if you're riding into the wind, it can be quite a big thing. But I cycled all last winter, and I don't remember it being too bad at all. If anything, it's a bit better in the winter. Because you just stay cooler, easier. In the summer, I was turning up to work quite hot and sweaty.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things, I think, when you talk about riding your bike, is one of the things we've spoken a bit about on the car series, people finding their zone. Mm. You know, like, okay, for me, I meditate.
Yeah.
Some people need to go to the gym or go for a swim or whatever. And it could be that you go for a bike ride, and you go through that rumination process like I would meditating, or you go and swim.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of ways of getting to
exactly
that.
Exactly. I think in some weird way, that's my meditation time, really. That 20 minutes at the start and the end of the day.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it's amazing how many problems you can solve. I found that when I was running a lot, is that lots of ideas would be dropping into my mind.
Mm.
Or I'd be ruminating on a different issue or problem. Yeah, and different ideas would present themselves.
I want to give a quick shout to travel as a form of inspiration, really. It's obviously not something you can do at the drop of a hat, like, oh, I'm struggling this afternoon, I'll head off to New York for the weekend. maybe it is, but yeah, I mean, I remember at college when I was 17, 18, and I went to New York for a week with college pals, and that trip just like fueled my creativity for months and months and months.
And it's the issue about being able to see that the world is different, you know, that it isn't all the same, and that does fire your juices up.
Yeah.
Cross-fertilisation. But that's what happens when you're in those hubs, isn't it, where you've got a lot of creatives together, you get a lot of cross-fertilisation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, it's good. If people that are listening to this... is don't think about creativity as something that creative people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, creativity is something that everybody's doing. The choice that we have mindfully is how much do we want to invest in that. And we can create, change, develop, do whatever we want if we're focused.
Mm.
Yeah, and focusing is the game of mindfulness. But as we're saying, there's lots of ways that you can zone that focusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have got my builder, Trev, who did our extension last year, in, because he's a fairly typical builder. He probably wouldn't think himself creative at all. He'd probably laugh at you if he said that. But builders and tradesmen like that, they do have amazingly creative minds, don't they?
They have creative fingers.
Yeah.
And hands. It's like Mark, who does the plastering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I see his wrist and the way he can do a curve and how he just does it, and the curve comes out from this... what is like, I mean, plaster's like pastry, isn't it? And then the way he spreads it out.
Yep.
And it just, it's like, wow, how do you do that? And it's just in his wrist. It's very clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we should all take note for the next... everyone that's listening to this, take note for the next day or two and just look around and see the amount of creativity going on everywhere.
Yeah, and the amount of creativity that you're doing.
Yeah, more importantly.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think one of the most important things as well is just to... I've highlighted it there. Keep going. How many people stop?
Yeah.
It's quite a famous illustration, cartoon of a person. It's kind of side on, like they're digging through a mine with a pickaxe.
Yeah.
And it's like he gives up, like a foot from that finding the gold or the diamond.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's the guy below, and he kept going.
Yeah.
Just got to keep going, haven't you?
But that's the thing that we say in the book, isn't it? Like never give up. Keep going.
Yep.
Get to where you want to be.
Mm.
You know, and that is that determination, but is that creativity, because you're creating where you're going to be.
Cool. Okay, you happy? Do you want to give your resource?
Yeah, seeing as we're working with the whole idea of writer's block, I've put the writer's room, which is, if you go BBC writer's room, got the link up, it takes you to... loads of interviews and things with different writers and lots of people sharing about how they deal with their own inspirational issues and how you plan to write a play or plan to write a film, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm. And they also do a blog,
yep.
which is good. So, yeah, I recommend that for anyone who wants to be a writer. Go and have a wander around the writer's room.
Yeah, we'll stick that up. I'm going to talk about just TED Talks in general. I'll just link to the homepage, but I was thinking on that, there's that classic, the famous Ken Robinson talk about creativity.
Yeah.
I think the actual title is How Schools Kill Creativity, but but it applies to whatever age you are, because maybe your line of work is killing your creativity.
Yeah.
So
I think that happens lots.
Check it out. But when I'm stuck for inspiration or I need to juice up on a wet and windy day, I'll stick a TED Talk on and just that'll get me going again.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Lovely. Liveinthepresent.co.uk. All the show notes and links there and previous episodes. Don't forget to put your email address in the box and we'll tell you as soon as these episodes go online. And you get your 10% discount for our book, Live in the Present, as well. And that's about it, isn't it, Sean?
It is. Have a wonderful day. So next time I will be in Qatar. So we will be
going to do one of our...
We'll do one of our famous over-the-air ones.
And it's going to work
perfectly, stunningly.
Right, you have a good week.
And you. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.